Let's put our hands together, church. Hallelujah, Jesus.
transform against us. We're standing on your promise. We believe in you, Lord, for greater things. We know that you are willing, and we've seen that you are able. Oh God, release your favor. We believe in you, Lord, for greater things. No mountains stand before us, no weapons formed against us. We're standing on your promise. Greater things, no mountains, you are willing. We've seen that you are able. Oh God, release your favor. We believe in you, Lord, for greater things.
Hallelujah. Let's thank him for that today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm believing for greater things. I try every day to believe for greater things. Keeps me positive. Reminds me of what God's doing for our lives, what he can do for our lives in the midst of everything that's going on. You could be seated this morning. God is so good. God is so good. If this is not your first time here, it's good to see you again. It's great to see you again. And if this is your first time here, welcome. Welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. Whether you're here in person, awesome. If you're online and this is your first time visiting us or watching with us, thank you for being here. We do have, if you're here in person, we have a little card, looks like this. If you have not gotten one of these and this is your first time, go ahead and grab one of these. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. Just a couple quick questions. And when I say questions, it's like name and date and phone number. So it's pretty easy for you. And if you're online, we have a little bit.ly that you can look up, and we can reach out to you there too if you want to fill that out for us. But either way, just thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for worshiping. It's always awesome to come into the house of God and worship with other people and get to know new people. This morning, if you'd like to give, we have multiple options for giving. You can see them on the screen, but in short, you can go right online to the Calvary Gospel Church CGC Madison website and click on giving. That's a really easy way to do it. You could also send in a check via mail. The U.S. Postal Service still is working. And then lastly, you can text a keyword, one of the keywords that you want to give. And if you're here in person, and maybe you feel to give or God leads you to give, there's a little box in the back by the reception. So on the outside in the area you walked in, you can give there as well. A couple quick announcements this morning. This Thursday, February 25th, is our annual church business meeting. It begins at 7 p.m., and we'll be just going over the 2020 finances and any church business. So this happens every year. It's our announcement, letting you know that it's there. If you'd like to go, you can be there. Also, a couple quick announcements, too. These are pretty exciting. How many ladies were able to make it to the ladies' event last night? Look at all the hands. So, a little insider information, ladies. You almost broke us. Almost. We had this plan for how many. There's going to be a great amount of ladies coming, and there was way more. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It was a great time. I wasn't there, but I take my wife's word for it. I believe her. She said it was awesome, and it was great to connect with the ladies and just the discussion that happened. And so there's going to be another one coming up in the next month, so look out for that. Be on the lookout for announcements. But that leads me right into tonight. Tonight there is a men's service. Okay, if you were a man, Jerry, what did you say, 16 years, we saying? Seven, yeah. Okay, if you're a man, you come to the men's service tonight, okay? It's at 7 p.m. right here in the main sanctuary. And so what I would say is, if you're a man, go ahead and come to the service. If you're a man, you're looking for some sort of direction or maybe just connection or some sort of clarity or vision for your life, come to this service. It's the beginning of the year. We've done a lot of decluttering and removing and getting stuff out of our lives. And now let's look for some good positive things to put in it. So Brother Jerry's going to be speaking. I'll give a little quick sneak a preach in the middle of it. And God's going to be there, and there's going to be some great blessings as men are getting together to worship God. So with that said, thank you for being here again. And I'll have you stand one more time. We'll just say a quick prayer, and then we'll go into worship. So let's pray that God touches our hearts this morning. Every single one of us. Make me in the right spirit, the right mindset, the right soil to receive God's word today. Whether you're online at home in your pajamas or whether you're sitting here in a beautiful suit and tie, God can penetrate our hearts this morning. So let's just ask that God have his way. God, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your service, God. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you, God. God, I pray that you would prepare my heart, prepare my mind, God, for what you're going to do and what you have done, Lord, in this music. God, in Pastor Roy, God, as he brings forth your word, God, anoint him, God, anoint my heart, Lord, to receive it, God. God, Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to me, speak to my heart and mind, and speak to every person that is here, that is either in this building or listening or will listen to this service, God. Do something wonderful in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
Thank you, Jesus. How many of you have been blessed this past year in spite of circumstances? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Standing of you, in all of what you do. For someone like me, that's so undeserving.
Stand in awe of you, in awe of what you do. Lord, my words cannot express how I feel.
I stand in awe.
restless. Oh, Jesus, your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus, oh. That's right, church, sing it out. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Sing your presence.
Your presence is heaven to me.
We sing, oh,
Jesus.
A moment and worship him and be in his presence. To me, Jesus. To me, Jesus. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you've been merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs, Jesus. You're the holder of my future days to come.
Your presence is heaven to me.
Jesus, your presence.
Your presence is heaven.
The holder of my future days to come. Sing your presence.
Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me.
Nothing in this world will satisfy, Jesus. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Sing, nothing,
nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Sing, nothing, no.
Nothing in this world will satisfy.
Nothing but you, Jesus.
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Sing nothing, yes.
Nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Jesus. Oh, let's sing it to him today. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Your presence is heaven
every day.
Oh, Jesus. Is heaven to me.
Can we just sit in his presence for a moment? Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you all, Jesus. We give our hearts, Jesus. Take our minds, Jesus. Touch every situation, Jesus. We're here in your presence, Jesus. Exalting your name, Jesus. Lifting you up, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, church. There's a wonderful presence of the Spirit has been ushered into this place today. Such a sweet presence of His Spirit. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for our looking up here. We've got the three Powell girls and we've got the Acca girls. Great job this morning. Thank you so very much. I do want to thank our ladies ministry for such a good job on Friday night, or Saturday night, I believe it was last night. Sister Lindsay and Sister Jane Rossing, big thank you. Tonight the men's going to be meeting. I asked Brother Simmons, I said, what is the dress attire tonight for our men? And he just requested that you wear clothes. That's exactly what he said. Well, I'd like for them to wear clothes. If you've ever been to men's camp, kind of men's camp attire, just dress casual. And, I do encourage all of our men to come. And then to those men that were here yesterday and shovel some of the snow and the ice off of the roof, thank you very much. I appreciate your efforts in that. This week we're supposed to get up into 40 degrees. It's been a while. So excited about that. And we are on winding down we've been talking about resetting your dreams. And just want a quick review on this. I believe it's important that we have dreams. I believe that it's important that we continue, even though the world may seem to come to a screeching halt, doesn't mean that the kingdom of God and God's, as He moves upon our lives, that our lives have to come to a screeching halt because everything else stops. And in a quick review, when we struggle in life, we talk about resetting our dreams. When we struggle in life, our first tendency that we have is to retreat from those struggles. Then we have a tendency, our human nature, we like to blame others. The blame game's already starting as to whose fault it is that Texas is frozen out. It's the president's fault, or it's Senator Cruz's fault because he went to Cancun. Has nothing to do with 20 below zero wind chills and 0 degree temperatures for a week and a half. They've had cold weather down there like we've had cold weather. Now they're blaming it on global warming, so I'm totally confused. If you listen to some of this, we have 9 years left on our planet, and it will all be destroyed. And but you see, we blame humanity as always. It began in the garden. There's two people in the garden. One of them sins, and they begin to blame who's to fault at this. So you have to understand, humanity is always looking for for someone to blame. Rather than launching out and fixing the issues, we often look for excuses and who we can blame for our circumstance as well as our success and our failures. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, he commanded his church, his kingdom, he says, to go. Go. So when others may be in the looking at retreating as we deal with some of the situations in life, Jesus' commandment was to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Our job, our mission, our purpose as the church is to do what it has always been called to do. There are times we have giants in our lives, those situations which create an imaginary problem or mountain, and this giant, this excuse, is what we use to not even try at times, and excuses can always be found if we look for them. Excuses become the cage that we put ourselves into, but God's plan for us is to take great steps of faith. We have to have faith and trust that he will slay every giant that stands in our way. So as we continue our resetting process, we reset our thoughts, we're resetting our hearts, our minds. We need to reset our dreams, reset those passions and those goals. And in order to do this, we talked last week of a few mindsets that we need to perhaps rid ourselves of. We need to rid ourselves of the fear of failure. We have to understand something in life, and it's taken me a while to figure this out, but my successes only typically come after numerous failures. Our children learn to walk after numerous failures of falling. We learn to ride bikes after numerous failures. We learn to drive cars. Hopefully we don't have as many failures. Some of us have more failures than others when it comes to learning how to drive cars. But nevertheless, we learn through our failures. So we need to rid ourselves of the fear of failing. Imaginary problems. Sometimes our minds, we imagine things that really seriously don't exist or don't exist at the level in which we imagine them. And we need to take those imaginary problems and cast them down. We need to guard the battle for the mind. This all goes back. Our last series ties in with this series when it comes to our mind. And we must spend more time in the presence of God. We must consecrate ourselves. What does that mean? Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves. I asked you some critical questions last week, and one of those questions was, how deep is your desire to experience the next level God has ordained for your life? And then what are you willing to give up to get there? I found out when it comes to dreams, sometimes it's much better to take my dream and exchange it for what God's purpose and God's dream is for my life. Dreams, if dreams are shared and dreams are achieved, they can become highly contagious. And you must praise your way out. We finished this with this last week, looking at Israel. As they were marching around Jericho, a formidable giant obstacle in their way, and they begin to praise their way through. And so when we look at this heading to a promise in which they were to fulfill their calling and praise your Jerichos, your giants will lead you out if you praise. Then we talked about if your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. Then I told you the little story of our little cat that is living at our in our backyard that just showed up there, a little scaredy cat. And I was able this week to coax him back into the house. He's no longer as afraid of the patio door that I mischievously closed on him, trying to just listen to last week's message. If you're want to get caught up on that, we talked about being a scaredy cat or a lion chaser. We want to move on this morning on how to trust God's plan
for your life and realize that that plan is not yours. We talked about focusing on the journey, not necessarily the destination. So many times in life, and this is one of the big things that I have had to learn in life, and vacations have taught me this. I was thinking about this over the past week and focusing on the journey, not the destination. I talked about Nebraska and going to Colorado and the things there's just nothing to see in Nebraska. And it reminded me of one of the last trips that I made to Texas with my parents, and my mom and dad asked if I would drive them to Texas, and this was before this. We took their vehicle down there, and I said, well, sure, I'll drive you down. I don't have a problem with that. And dad says, well, we'll pick you up around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm thinking, that's perfect, because I can drive till midnight, 1 o'clock. I can get us south of St. Louis, probably somewhere near Cape Girardeau, Missouri, about an 8-hour trip. And if you've ever traveled with Bishop, you will understand, and you must know one thing, and he's probably watching as I say this morning, but between here and Texas, he knows where every Cracker Barrel is located, and he has been there. So as I get into his vehicle, he asks if I'm hungry, and I said, I'm not really that hungry. He said, well, they have a great Cracker Barrel in Janesville. I kid you not, folks, as I am standing here, as God is my witness, I got in their vehicle on the way to Texas. We drove to Janesville, and we spent the night in Janesville. You see, the thing was, as I was looking at the destination, and he was looking to enjoy the journey. I'm thinking as I'm sitting there, I could be at home right now, mowing my grass, spending the evening with my wife and enjoying a good, comfortable evening, but I'm in a motel about 38 minutes from my front door. It took us 3 days to make that trip to Texas. Now, this was before smartphones and notebooks. So as I drove and as I sat for hours on end, I began to think about this whole enjoying the journey. My wife and I are planning on going to Texas to Brother Jay Henry's wedding, and I'm trying to figure out how we can get there in 3 days, because I'm looking at taking 3 days to get there, and I'm like, I don't know if that's gonna work out, if it's too long. Or you see, I'm learning some things. I'm learning, number one, that there's Cracker Barrels all along the way. And I'm also learning to enjoy and relax and enjoy the journey. So we're going to move on this morning. As we move into new territory, we have to understand that sometimes dreams, God-given dreams, can hurt. So we need to expect the impossible, and yet we need to expect to be challenged. So many times we see dreams as a genie in a bottle that if we rub it just a little bit and massage it just a little bit, that poof, our dream is going to come and become reality. But in reality, when we look at some dreams, it's more like giving birth. I've never given birth, so I don't know what that's like, but I do know what it's like to pass a kidney stone. So for men, it's like passing a kidney stone the size of a golf ball, and for women, it's like giving birth to a 9-pound baby. That's how dreams sometimes can be. Sometimes we look at this and we have to understand that if we have a dream, and no matter what that dream is, that we can expect heartbreak and pain, and sometimes dreams just plain hurt. You see, this is where the trust factor, that we must trust God, steps in and factors in. We have to trust God in difficult times when those dreams may seem to be shattered. And it's one of those things that does not come naturally to most of us. Yet through those difficulties, we begin to see the faithfulness of God. Think about this. How could God prove his faithfulness if we never had an issue or we never had a struggle in which we needed God so desperately in our lives? So when we look and say, God, prove your faithfulness to me, you better get ready for a trial. Because that's how God proves himself to humanity. How do we as humanity prove faithfulness to one another? God put us together as a church. We prove our faithfulness to one another by sticking with each other through adverse times. Yet if we're not careful, now listen to this next statement, because if we're not careful, sometimes our humanity, our flesh, we have this tendency to hold God to a totally different standard when it comes to trust and faithfulness than we hold our brothers or sisters to. You see, truth be told, God's word, he never promises that his plan, his purpose, those dreams that he has given to us will take us along a path of ease and luxury and relaxation. We're never promised to be removed from the pain and the suffering of this world, but we are promised that God will walk beside us through it all. I like that old song. I think it was written by Andre Crouch. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. How do we learn to trust in God? How do we learn to trust in one another when we're willing to go through it all with one another and with God? So what does God's word tell us in Isaiah 43:2? It tells me that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So we have to trust God's plan for our lives. It was not easy when I realized that things were not going to go as smoothly as I had hoped they would go. Have you ever trusted God for something? You have a dream that you're trying to get to, and you're trusting God, and you begin to realize that there's a whole lot more fight in this than you ever anticipated, a whole lot more struggle in this. I know that in the past, I years ago in 1985, my wife and I, we decided to build our first home, and I could just see it all going together in my mind, but it took 9 months, and I realized about 2 weeks into this project that there's a lot of work that goes into building your own home. When we ordered all the material, 2 semi-trucks show up on the job site and they dump 80,000 pounds of lumber and windows and siding and roofing. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at these giant piles, and in all of this mess and chaos, somewhere is my home. But you see, that's how God works. God takes our dreams and all of this mess and chaos. If we're faithful and if we have trust, if I trust the plan, if I trust the blueprint and follow it. But boy, it was a lot of hard work. Trust the plan. I would recommend that you read the book of James. I've said this before. It's just 5 short chapters, but it's very powerful. It's very powerful. James tells us to count in joy when we go through difficult times. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I take that as whenever life isn't going how you expect it to go. Take joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We must also understand that a God-given dream requires, hear me, okay? This point, a God-given dream requires divine intervention. So if you have a God-given dream and God is not intervening in that dream, then either you're trying to do it all yourself, which it's not going to work, or you're so far away from God you haven't put it together yet. If it's a God-given dream, God is going to be in it. If your dream is something you can figure out on your own, it's not likely from God. God-sized dreams always are going to require divine intervention. I feel that in the past, this point is exactly the reason why in my life I have gone through so many different things over the last 18 months. Because it's God's dreams. And God is intervening. God is showing me that, you know that dream? You think you can do that all on your own? I'm just going to show you how fragile you really are. I love what Psalms 91:13 says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. You will trample the lion and the giants in your life if you stay in your God-given dream and you allow God to have divine intervention in your life. Remember, life is a process, church. Life is a process. We live through this day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, but so much of life is a process, and that process is a forever, forever, forever learning process. Thus, we must learn that every disappointment, that every failure at times can push us into and forward into our dreams. So our next point this morning is we must understand that disappointment is neither final nor is it fatal. Some of these points we've covered in the past, but we're talking about resetting our dreams here. I'm reminded of the story we find in Genesis chapter 40, verse 15, where Joseph requests that when Pharaoh's butler is reinstated, that the butler might remember Joseph. You can go back and read this story. Joseph is in an Egyptian prison. He's been there a long, long time. He's got a dream. God gave him an incredible, incredible dream. But he's paying a very high price at this point in his life for that dream. But he's having to learn in all of this to trust God in everything that he does and trust God in everything that happens to him. So he is learning firsthand that disappointment is not always final and it's not always fatal. So here he is in this prison. And he tells the butler, who's being sent back to Pharaoh's palace, he said, "Listen, when you get there, can you at least remind Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh about me, let him know that I'm here, tell him how you got back, tell him the story." But you see, Joseph, in all of his struggles, in all of his troubles, never once do you hear him blaming anybody else for the mess that he's in. He doesn't go back and blame his brothers who cruelly rejected him and sold. He was sold into slavery by his own family. He never goes and he never talks and talks negative of Potiphar's wife who lied on him. And that's the reason why he's in prison. He states it this way, "For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into this dungeon." So using Joseph's own words as our principal model, our next point is only you, only you, only me, only us can choose how we react to disappointment. When you're chasing after a dream and you find yourself in prison and everything is crumbling around you, it's only you who can react to disappointment. So either you will focus on being let down, and you will focus on being heartbroken by giving up or giving in, or you will turn your disappointment, you will turn your anger, and you will turn your sadness and confusion into a resolve to succeed no matter what. If it is a God-given dream, it must require God-divine intervention. So if you understand this, no matter what happens, if God is in it, you will succeed. Psalms 30:50 in the Classic Amplified says it this way, "For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime," or "in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Our next point this morning is to get up, get going, and avoid being inactive. Don't wallow in a self-pity party, and don't become lazy due to inactivity. I have a passage of scripture for this, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "If you want favor with God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely." Don't ever trust yourself, and everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. You see, you have to understand one thing about God, and this took me a while to figure this out, but with God, everything, understand this, listen, this is our next point. With God, everything. With God, everything is always a bigger picture. We look at just where we are and where God has us right now. And we look at the dreams that we're trying to fulfill and get to, our God dreams in our lives. And we're trying to get to those. And we think it's so hard. But we have to understand we are part of a much, much larger picture. Jeremiah 32:17 in the International Standard Version. Some of you may wonder why I have so many different versions, is because sometimes certain scriptures just read really well in certain versions. So we're looking at this Jeremiah. He says, "Lord, look, you made the heavens and the earth with your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." So we have to understand that God is always looking at a bigger picture. God has a much different perspective on this world than what we have. And we must realize that there is power within each of us to overcome any disappointment and do things we've never previously dreamed possible. We're talking about resetting our dreams this morning. Psalms 34:18 in the Classic Amplified, "The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart and saves such as are crushed with sorrow for sin and are humbly and thoroughly remorseful. Listen, God wants us to dream, and he wants us to dream the impossible, because when we dream the impossible, it connects us with him. When we dream the possible, we don't need him. I don't, if I have a dream that I'm going to build a chicken coop, and that's a dream of mine, I may not need God per se to help me. But if that chicken coop is a chicken coop that's going to hold every chicken in the world, then I might need a little bit of God, because that's a big chicken coop. Okay? So when we look at our lives, some things in life we may not have to have God's for us to fulfill every dream. But if it's a God dream, then it connects us with God. And we must learn from our disappointments and how to turn them into victories. Romans 8:28, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and to those who love God and are called according to his design and his purpose. And church, if we're going to reset our dreams and we're going to have God intervene in that process, then we have to go deep with God. We have to go deep with God. 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. Therefore we do not become discouraged. Utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. Our flesh, the minute we're born, we start to die. Our flesh is constantly, it rejuvenates itself for a season. I think I'm on the downslope of that rejuvenation process, because when I wake up in the morning, I'm a whole lot sorer and tireder than I was in my 30s and 40s. Some of those that are older here this morning, some of our elders, you can tell that the way they get around, that things aren't rejuvenating quite as fast as it used to be. But you see, our inner self, our soul, our spirit, it can be renewed progressively. Every day, day after day after day. And then we must learn, this is a big point, this is a kind of one of those, learn that if you wait for perfect conditions for your dream to be fulfilled, you'll never get anything done. I just want to say procrastination is a tool of the devil. Don't procrastinate. Sometimes we have the tendency to postpone things that are the most difficult and unpleasant, but don't postpone things when it comes to fulfilling your God-given dream. Luke 9, verse 62 in the Message, Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Seize the day. Seize the day and complete what you've started without any further delay. The scripture is really clear in Ecclesiastes 11:4. If it says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. There are four reasons why people procrastinate. First is you don't want to do what you said that you would do. Have you ever gotten that situation? You committed to something that you really didn't want to do, but you committed to it anyway? That's one reason why we procrastinate. Second reason is you don't feel like you're equipped to accomplish the task. Well, that's where consecration comes in. That's where preparation comes in. Third, you don't feel that the timing is right or convenient. And then fourth, you assign other things in life simply as a higher priority. So you procrastinate. I know some folks that procrastinate in taking out the trash. I used to drive by in work, would drive by, and you kind of have the same patterns every day. And this one particular house always had its garage door up. And I was amazed at how many bags of garbage. It's like all winter long, they never took their garbage out. I just can't understand that. Why would you want to live and work around and move around garbage? Stuff that you threw away that's rotting. But yet, we do that sometimes in life by procrastinating. Our next point is learn to keep your passion burning brightly without flaming out. During the next, we have 320 plus days left in this year. You need to be passionate in your pursuit of your dreams and your goals. So as we close here this morning, I want to leave you with a little acronym for passion that should be our guide. When you look at passion, it's P-A-S-S-I-O-N. P stands for positive. If you're taking notes this morning, P stands for positive. A stands for attitude. S stands for supernatural. And S also stands for surge. The I in passion is for intensity. And the O is for overwhelming. And the N is for negativity. So when you look at this, a person with passion has a positive attitude, causing a supernatural surge in intensity, overwhelming all negativity. How is that for a passion? When I look at this, I happen to think that Matthew 22:37 in the Message gives the best definition of an effective use of passion for our greatest ultimate success. Jesus said, "The first in importance is listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one." So love the Lord with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you love yourself. And he goes on to say, there's no other commandment that ranks with these. So passion, positive attitude, causing a supernatural surge in intensity, overwhelming all negativity. And if you could stand this morning. I was talking, I had lunch on Thursday, I think it was, with Brother Peter. We have our baby dedication coming up, and we're talking about our baby dedication and such, and he began to share some things, just talking about family and such, how that his oldest daughter, Sophia, how that she's keeping a journal. And she writes everything down, things that she reads in her Bible. And Brother Peter is challenging her to write things down, keep notes. And I found out one thing about my journey with God is that the more I write down and the more I keep notes, I have totes full of notebooks. Started off with just the yellow binder notebooks, you know, the 8.5 by 11. I have stacks and dozens and dozens and dozens. And I label them all month, year. I could go back and look over 10 years ago and find out what my thoughts were on a particular day or month. I think this is very important when we're trying to accomplish dreams that God gives us, because sometimes it's encouraging to go back and see how you are thinking a year ago and how as God begins to move in your life and God begins to change as you begin to trust God and you begin to have more faith in God, how your journal entries begin to change. Because you see, what happens is you're growing in God. You're progressing. And sometimes we don't see that in ourselves. And the only benchmark that we have is when we can go back and we can look and we can refer. So I want to challenge you, write it down. Keep notes. Keep a journal. And then final thoughts. I do believe that we can do all things through Christ. I believe that so strongly. Whatever dream that you have that perhaps over the last year has just come to a standstill, you look at those dreams, no matter what it may be. It could be starting a business, starting a Bible study group, reconnecting with your brothers and sisters. We've got some folks that have bought homes recently. That's a dream. Building homes, those are all dreams. We have to understand that we can do all things through Christ. But you see, the bottom line is we actually have to go. When Jesus said, "Go ye therefore," if you want to have that dream, if you want to reset that dream, you're going to have to take and get up from where you are and go. And you have to have faith. If you don't have faith believing that God can do it, then it's not going to happen. And you have to trust God. You have to trust God. Sometimes, as I said earlier, we trust one another more than we trust God. And we hold God to a different standard than we hold one another to. And God's saying, "Listen, you can trust me in every detail of your life." You see, if Joshua never crossed Jordan, there would be no Jericho. Think about some of these things. That's just so simple, but it's true. If Joshua never crossed over the Jordan River, there'd be no miracle of crossing of the Jordan. There'd be no Jericho that we could refer back to time and time again. And instead of being daylight right now, it would be dark. Because the sun stood still and changed forever. You realize in order for the sun to stand still, God had to pause the entire universe. Now, thinking about that, if the sun stood still and stopped, and God paused the entire universe, it means the earth had to stop. And if the earth stops, we lose gravity. And everything should have floated off into space. Do you realize the magnitude of what Joshua asked for that day? But you see, he had to finish a fight. He had to finish a battle. And he said, "God, I want to finish this fight." How desperate, how willing are we willing, or how far are we willing to go to ask God to fulfill our dream? You see, if it's a God dream, you see, God desires to do amazing things in our lives this year. I believe God is challenging us to dare to dream again. I dare you to take steps in the direction of your dreams this year. I believe wholeheartedly that if we take those steps, whatever that dream may be, no matter how difficult it may be, that God will meet us there and God will make a way for you in your life. So reset your dreams, church. We have to reset our dreams in 2021. So as our praise team begins to sing, remember, positive attitude, supernatural surge, intensity, overwhelming negativity. Positive attitude causing a supernatural surge and intensity, overwhelming all negativity. Want to get rid of that negativity in your life? You have to replace it with some passion. If you've been negative for a long time, if last year was a very negative year and it's following into this year, replace that negativity with passion. As our praise team sings, I want to open up this altar this morning. Dare to dream. Dare God.
I have this confidence because
God bless you.
I've seen the faith.
You choose not to come down and pray. Just want to challenge you to find a place where you're at.
And I trust the power of your word enough to seek your kingdom first. The sun to rise, declare the battle won.